It's opening day in Detroit, and this is Focus with Paul W. Smith on 760 WJR with guest host Steve Courtney. This special broadcast is sponsored by Huntington. Let's get more from money. Switch to Huntington Bank now at Huntington.com. Now from Huntington's commercial headquarters overlooking the ballpark, here's Steve.
Thank you very much, my friend. Hello again, everybody, and happy opening day to you. I got to tell you, we are, as that gentleman let you know, from the commercial headquarters, a.k.a. the tower, of Huntington Bank. And it is an amazing venue to be bringing you a little slice of opening day. As literally, I'm looking to my right, and you can see the playing field here. And just an exquisite place to be. Nice to have you with us on Focus here on 760 WJR. With me, producer Mike Parsons. Michael?
What a view, Steve. I think we're, on the 19th floor. We can see all the way to St. Clair Shores. And, yeah, anything that's hit deep to left field, we've got a bird's eye view of.
Yeah, this is an amazing backdrop. I've never been here before.
No, me either.
I've heard nothing but great things about it, but when you take it in firsthand, it's pretty incredible.
Well, and on top of that, I've heard rumors this is the warmest opening day on record. I haven't fact-checked it, but I'm going to choose to believe it. So,
well, all I know, it has been a long time that we've had an opening day in the D. Approaching 70 degrees.
Yeah, normally opening day in Detroit means six more weeks of winter, so this is nice.
Yeah, pretty much. And the truth of the matter is, the Tigers come into this tilt with the St. Louis Cardinals. You talk about two historic baseball organizations getting together to celebrate opening day. Tigers have lost four straight. Don't worry. There's 156 games left, okay? You got Framber Valdez on the hill when they get to first pitch about 1:10. We've got an action-packed broadcast coming up for you. We'll talk Tigers baseball with, of course, the voice. Good friend Dan Dickerson going to join us shortly after the bottom of the hour. Interesting things to say about this 2026 Tigers team. We're going to kick things off. You talk about a blast from the past. We are going to check in with another friend. I think he's a friend. He may not feel the same way, but Tom Gage covered the Tigers like nobody's business, you recall, for the Detroit News from 1979 through 2015. He is now an author. Got together with the former Tiger catcher, Alex Avila. Your Detroit Tigers, the great, the good, the top 400. He joins us now. Tommy, how are you, sir?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
Everything is great. So much to unpack with you, sir. Let's talk about this book. Again, you're talking about the top 400 to wear the Old English D, Tom. I can't even imagine the extensive research involved putting this thing together.
Well, there was a lot, but when I got into it, one thing led to another, Steve, and I just really, it turned out to be a great labor of love. I really enjoyed it. It's a formula that I can apply really to any team. And I don't know if I want to do 400 players for any team, but for the Tigers, it was really a trip back in time and long before my time.
Well, I mean, you covered the ball club for what, 36 years, Tom?
Yeah, I covered them from 1979 to 2015. But, you know, even in retirement, Steve, I haven't retired. I've written five books in the 10 years I have been retired. And, you know, my thirst for baseball knowledge just continues.
Well, and you know what? I think your thirst for baseball, Tom, is what I remember most about you. Going back to the old Tiger Stadium, for crying out loud. But, you know, you saw a lot of great characters wear the Old English D over the years. There's no question about it. And you're talking about a franchise that has been to baseball's postseason a couple of years in a row. So something tells me, Tom Gage, you're still following this Tigers team.
Oh, I am. And, you know, I admire the way they've put it together. I think they're going to be good. you made reference to the fact that there are 156 games to go. 2-4 really doesn't mean much, and I think they're going to be quite solid.
You co-wrote this book, if you will, Tom, with former Tiger catcher Alex Avila, who I know a lot of folks listening to this conversation remember his work as a TV analyst. And by the way, I thought he did a tremendous job. But what was his input? I mean, he was brought up around this franchise.
Yeah, his input is that he provided about 50 commentaries for the players. I would send him a list of players that I thought he might want to comment upon, and he would choose them. And you know, Alex is a great student of the game, and he's a very intelligent, curious student of the game, and he really did his homework.
How difficult was it, Tom, even putting together the top 400 in Tigers history?
Well, as long as, you know, Steve, the thing is, I had a formula. It wasn't any, there's no subjectivity to this. I have my opinions about the Tigers. I grew up, you know, as a really a fan of the 60s. So the 68 team was really my, those guys were my heroes. But sure. Once I became a journalist, you know, I had to leave my fan days behind and become objective. So what I did with this book was devise an algorithm that was purely based on metrics and 14 different categories, two of which for every player I tossed out because I thought they were inconsequential. And I began it because I wanted to give Miguel Cabrera his rightful place in history. You know, when he retired, someone called him the greatest Tiger hitter ever, and I disputed that. I don't dispute that he was a great hitter, but I just didn't know where to place him.
Well, and that raises the question, as far as we don't have much time left, Tom, but number six, Al Kaline. Does he remain, in your opinion, sir, the greatest Tiger ever?
Ty Cobb is. Ty Cobb was number one hitter. Yeah. Al Kaline is second, and Gehringer third, and based on the numbers. But Al Kaline turned out to be a great friend. I enjoyed his friendship, and I miss him, and he was Mr. Tiger.
You know, just to have a conversation long after his career was over in the press area here at Comerica Park there, Tom, I valued each and every conversation. His insight into the game, the way he just slid into being a tremendous ambassador, not only for baseball, but, of course, the Detroit Tigers, was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, I think Al turned out to be much more outgoing than he ever thought he would. And I think it was his announcing career that brought that out. He and George were great. It was a great partnership, and they brought out different parts of their personalities. You know, to me, sitting down on the back porch couch and listening to George Kell on a Friday night, that was heaven. It really was.
No doubt about that there, Tom. Good checking in with you, my friend. Thank you so very much for your time.
Yeah, good talking to you, Steve.
All right, there is Tom Gage. Again, folks, the name of the book, Your Detroit Tigers, The Great, The Good, The Top 400, a little collaboration with former Tiger catcher Alex Avila. We are bringing you a slice of opening day. We have got a lot more coming your way. Make sure you leave it here on 760 WJR. All right, welcome back into the opening day festivities, ladies and gentlemen, here on Focus on 760 WJR. Steve Courtney, indeed at your service. Always a pleasure sitting in for my good friend, Mr. Paul W. Smith. And again, we are at the commercial headquarters, a.k.a. the Tower of Huntington Bank, conveniently located right across from the park. a wonderful, wonderful place to check everything out. And we are going to check in with our hosts. Joining me now, Mr. Mike Land, Southeast Michigan and Northwest Ohio Regional President, and Mr. John Sherman, Commercial Region Manager. Mike, John, how you doing?
Good, Steve.
Good, Steve. And I'm so happy you guys are here. Really good to have you broadcasting live from our beautiful Detroit Huntington Tower, right in the center of District Detroit and right across the street from the ballpark. It's great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's a pleasure, Mike, John. Thank you both. I've never been here before, and I got quite the tour. And I don't know who was in charge of design of this tremendous office complex, but no stone was left unturned. And, you know, you guys come to this place every day.
Yeah.
God love you.
It's a beautiful building. We are blessed to be here and work here every day. We brought about 400 colleagues downtown to work in this building. I think everyone loves being here. And you're right, it's a special place. We're on our 19th floor, which is kind of an event space that we can open up to a beautiful balcony. We do a lot of community events here. We open it up to the community. We don't charge for the space because we want to give back and let people use this beautiful space. But you know, we've got about 450 of our friends coming down to hang out with us today and enjoy all the festivities of opening day. I mean, Steve, it is a party, not only here in the building, but in the city. This is a holiday, really, for Detroit, right?
It surely is, and I want credit right now because I was on the weather committee for today. And usually, John, you know where I'm going.
Yes, I do.
Usually it's like snow flurries and 40 on opening day. But, John, talk to us about the commitment that Huntington makes, and Mike was talking about a little bit. But, you know, would it be easy for a successful business such as Huntington Bank, which has been around for a long time, just to go about your business? But you guys are so community-oriented, and that's really refreshing.
Well, thank you. This building is a statement, right? It's right here in the northern part of downtown. We moved in about 3.5-4 years ago, and it's a symbol of our commitment to Detroit, right? We've got we have a deep, deep bullpen of very experienced bankers here that can execute for our clients, for our prospects, and you know, just make the community a better place.
Well, I know we're living in a different world right now, and I think that it tends to go into finances. But I know the pros that you have within Huntington will simplify things, and that's what people are looking for right now. I feel sorry for, you know, young married couples looking to get into their first home, because it's not like it used to be there, Mike, back in the old days. There's a lot of hoops to go through. But I know for a fact that y'all have wonderful folks that will walk everybody through the process, no matter where it is they want to be financially.
That's right. Yeah. And we recognize, just, you know, specifically about the home issue and new home buyers. It's a problem. I mean, the cost of a new home today is really, really high. And, you know, we have products that are designed to help that. We have a down payment assistance program that's called Home for Good, that we will provide down payment assistance in a grant format so they don't have to pay it back. And
we'll
also
awesome.
Have the ability to add on covering closing costs. And it could be as high as $15,000 if you qualify. And there are certain qualifiers around this program. But I would encourage our listeners to look into our Home for Good down payment assistance program. It's unique. It's innovative.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly.
And Steve, it's all about, you know, like what John was saying, you know, we're a bank and you know, we're here to do a service. And obviously we have shareholders to attend to, but
Certainly.
We're here to also support our community and make people's lives better in the community in which we serve. And if we have a strong community, we have a strong bank. There's no doubt about that. So we have to come up with these types of things that will help folks, to strengthen the community, and it'll strengthen the bank.
You know what? That's outstanding. And, you know, again, we're talking about individuals trying to live the American dream.
That's right.
And it's a little bit more difficult, but when you've got programs that you just discussed, Mike, that's awesome.
Yeah.
In the time that we have left, I have to talk to you about this because it's an issue that's being thrown around left and right in our great nation. That is AI. Certainly a tremendous tool if used properly. But there are people that wake up every morning that want to stick it to people.
Yep.
So that's where AI takes an ugly turn. Your thoughts, being successful business guys in the banking industry, it is a powerful resource if used well.
It completely well. Right, Steve. It is a powerful if it's used right. And, you know, we're trying to and we're using it, and I think we're using it right in the bank to, again, create innovation and make, you know,
sure.
working with the bank easier. But, you know, I think you're touching on there's a lot of bad actors out there that are using it in a fraud capacity that's creating problems for people and, frankly, for us to stay ahead of that.
You've got to be on guard.
You got to be on guard. You got to, you know, be really diligent and, you know, just, you know, use common sense. When you see a text that doesn't really make sense, don't open it.
Right.
If someone calls and you're not really sure if they're calling from the right place, hang up and look at the number on the back of your credit card, for instance, and call that number back and make sure it's coming from the right place. If we're just diligent around doing the common sense type of things and not being so trusting, we'll ward off most of those issues.
Yeah, John can't be trusting anymore, sadly.
No.
Sadly.
No, the frequency of fraud, I mean, it doubles, triples every year that goes by. We are very proactive, like trying to talk to our customers about the best fraud mitigation tools that they can put on their accounts. Because we just see it on a daily, weekly basis.
Yeah.
Fellas, thank you very much for having WJR at your amazing facility.
Steve, thank you for being here. We're excited about the tilt that's coming up here in a little bit.
The tilt. The Tigers got to get off the schneid here. They've lost four straight.
Yeah. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. There you have Mr. Mike Land, Southeast Michigan and Northwest Ohio Regional President, and John Sherman, Commercial Region Manager with Huntington Bank, where we are. Don't go away. More to come in just a bit. Automotive Views is brought to you by Bridgestone. No matter what the next generation of mobility will be, it will be on wheels, and Bridgestone will be there. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Here's Mike Martinez.
Conflict with Iran is already having significant consequences across the global auto industry. Toyota CEO Sato Koji warned this week that Japan's industry faces potential aluminum and other part shortages if the Strait of Hormuz remains closed and the region remains unstable. That follows similar warnings from Nissan's CEO, who said the war was disrupting the distribution of Nissan products throughout the Middle East. Reports say both automakers are already cutting production by thousands of units, while Mitsubishi Chemical Group said it's raising plastics prices because of tight supplies. Bloomberg is reporting that the disruptions in the aluminum trade have pushed some Japanese and South Korean auto suppliers into talks with a Russian company. Automakers in the U.S. are mostly unaffected, although any disruption to the global supply chain is likely to be felt here eventually. If oil prices in particular keep rising, it would create even more headaches for both suppliers and manufacturers. With this week's Automotive View, I'm Mike Martinez with Automotive News.
Our opening day celebration continues right here on 760 WJR. As a matter of fact, we're putting the whole darn day into focus via Paul W's fine radio program. Paul, with the day off, yours truly, Steve Courtney here, taking care of business. And, a little bit later on, two historic Major League franchises getting together at the Ball Yard, your Detroit Tigers and, of course, the Cardinals of San Luis. First pitch going off about 1:10. Meanwhile, it'll be Framber Valdez on the bump for the Tigers. No decision as of yet. ERA of 1.50. Cardinals will send out the right-hander, Michael McGreevy. What's he up to? He is no decision as of yet, and the ERA reflects that. So there you go. Cardinals come in 4-2. Your Tigers come in 2-4. We're going to talk about that with the voice, radio, sometimes TV, just a fine human being all the way around, Double D Dan Dickerson. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Mr. Courtney. How are you? Always good to talk to you.
Everything is great. Now, sadly, as we celebrate opening day, Danny boy, the Tigers kind of come into Comerica Park limping a little bit. 4-game losing streak. You know, they beat the Padres in the first two games of the opening series by a combined score of 13-2. You were thinking at that point, okay, here we go. But, Danny, yeah. I'll just say this. Thank goodness there's 156 games left.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird opening trip. I mean, the pitching for the most part was strong, obviously, other than the eighth inning meltdown in game two against the Diamondbacks.
Right.
And the offense, you know, had big innings, which is always a good sign to me, but they only had big innings. They hardly scored in any of the other innings, which was really strange to me. So it wasn't good offense performance. I know that people felt going into the season, this team needed to add another bat. I didn't feel that way once they got Gleyber Torres back, because he was a big part of an offensive improvement last year. They got them into the top five offensively. They were top three offensively until the last 16 games of the season. So that's 90% of the season. They were top three offense and run scoring in the American League. So I just feel like with this young core, they're not all going to continue to progress. There's going to be some slip back, and then there's going to be some guys who take jumps up. I think they still have, even though it was not good the last four games, I get it, a good enough offense to get this team to the top of the Central. I think, you know, win 90 games plus, because they have, you still win with run prevention, right?
Sure.
You win championships with run prevention. The Dodgers won the World Series last year because they pitched well. Their hitting wasn't great in the postseason. And the Tigers, adding Framber Valdez, you mentioned him, starts opening day. I mean, fans are going to love this guy slotting in behind Tarik Skubal. When you've got two aces, I'm telling you, it just changes the whole feel. The offense is going to get going. It might take a little bit, but I'm confident about that. But when you add Valdez, and you look at that start that Casey Mize had, Steve, on the road trip, that was a great sign.
Sure was.
Casey Mize worked all spring. Did not have a good spring, but he had the luxury of working on some things instead of just trying to make the team. And he added a right-on-right splitter. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but it could be a game-changer for him, because now he can get out righties better. He's got a swing-and-miss pitch to righties, and it took work to get it there. But he looked great against a team that doesn't swing and miss much. He got a lot of swing and miss.
Yeah.
So I just think the rotation's in great shape. There's depth in the bullpen. Not a great road trip by the end, but all the pieces in place to me to make a deep run into the postseason later this year.
You mentioned Casey Mize, six innings of work, four hits, one run, walk two. He struck out nine. You're right, Danny. He deserved a better fate in game two of that D-back series. Meanwhile, let's not ignore the elephant in the room. Justin Verlander turned 43 in February in his first start again as a Tiger. 3 2/3, six hits, five runs, walked two, struck out one, gave up a tater in that Tigers 9-6 loss to open the series with the D-backs. Now, I know a lot of members of Tigers Nation, Dan, saying, Oh boy, here we go. He got off to a very slow start with the Giants last year and corrected it. So there's that.
Yeah, and we saw the stuff was not good in his first start. I mean, let's just start right there. And he knew that. He just didn't have anything to go to, which was kind of strange. He was bouncing breaking balls, and his fastball I couldn't locate. But we saw better in the spring. We saw up to 96 in the spring. We saw swing and miss with the fastball because he was locating his other pitches. We saw swing and miss by lefties on his slider. To me, that's a very good sign. So we saw better stuff in the spring. I'm not going to worry unless this goes on for several more starts, but I don't know. I don't think it will, based on what we saw in his starts in the spring. The stuff that we saw is what I'm thinking about. So I think he'll be fine. He knows it wasn't good. He's like, well, let's just get to work. And right after he met with the media after his start and was very honest about his performance, he's like, I'm going over it. And he's going to sit down with Chris Fetter and Robin Lund and go over it. And he said, I've already got ideas. I'll be very surprised if it's not a whole lot better Sunday. Although Sunday's forecast looks really nasty.
Yes, it does, as a matter of fact.
40 degrees at game time for Sunday night baseball.
Well, this is what we get this time of year. But meanwhile, for today's opening day, I'll point out,
how about it?
70 degrees. Are you kidding me?
When was the last time we had that? I'm gonna let you look that up.
I don't remember, but all I know, it's been a while. Meanwhile, let's talk about some of the question marks offensively. Kerry Carpenter,
sure.
Nothing but love and respect for this guy. Right now, again, Danny, through six games, he's hitting 91. He's had 22 at-bats, and he's struck out 12 times. That's not Kerry Carpenter.
No, and you know, he actually had his lowest strikeout rate last year. My biggest concern last year was the lack of walks.
I had a good chat with him during spring training. And he said, you know, I just never felt like I had my swing. I wasn't comfortable at the plate. When you're not comfortable at the plate, and he didn't blame the hamstring injuries. That had to be part of it. But he's like, when you're not comfortable at the plate, you don't see the ball well. It all clicked in the postseason for him. You have to take your walks. This is how the Tigers always frame it. You have to take your walks when they're not pitching to you. It's not draw walks. It's when they're not going to pitch to you. You have to stay in the strike zone and take your walks. Well, he did in the postseason and had a very productive postseason, hit with some power, hit a lefty home run or a home run off a lefty. So I really felt going into this year that he was going to have a big year. You know, his OPS fell from like 920 to 780. 780 is still a good year last year with 26 home runs. But again, it was he just wasn't drawing his walks and he was expanding the strike zone too much. Right now, I think Bobby described it really well. Bobby Scales, my partner, described it really well on the air yesterday. He's like, he's just kind of in between right now. And that's a bad place to be. Every hitter we'll go through that.
Sure.
Where you're not on time for the fastball, you're out ahead of the breaking ball, and you just have to get time back up for the fastball. If there's one thing Kerry Carpenter can do, it's get timed up for the fastball. Not a great start, but believe me, we're going to see a very productive Kerry Carpenter this year.
Meanwhile, coming into this campaign, a lot of question marks about whether or not Riley Green, a gifted player, would be able to cut down on his Ks. 25 mm-hmm. at-bats through six games there, Danny. Hitting 200, he's whiffed just six times to go along with four RBI. I think he corrects himself as this season unfolds.
No question. When your strikeout rate is over 30%, and you got to be kind of precise on this, but that's, to me, the red flag, right? And he jumped over 30%. A power hitter can be right around 25% strikeout rate with a good walk rate. You can still be a very productive hitter. He knows he has to cut down. Walks are going to go up this year. He worked very hard on a two-strike approach. I said, what is different about your two-strike approach this year? I asked him in the spring, and he goes, well, I have one. There's a starting point for what's different.
There you go.
So, I mean, he's the most self-deprecating. He's just a great kid. But he really worked on just seeing the nastiest, the pitches that gave him trouble, and now he's trying to lay off them. Or, because you have to be able to do this as a good hitter, make at least be able to foul off some of those nasty two-strike pitches that he used to chase, extend the at-bat, get the ball in the strike zone like we saw Kevin McGonigal do in his that 10-pitch at-bat in Game 2 in San Diego, and then you get a pitch that you can drive. So I think he's going to do all those things. He worked really hard on that this winter, and I do think the other thing I think that will help, it's a smaller strike zone this year. We're going to see more offense in baseball, and I think it helps Riley Green, a guy who kind of chased the high fastball, and the top part of the strike zone has been cut off this year with the new system,
right.
The new ABS challenge system, and I think that helps him maybe more than almost any other Tiger hitter.
All right, a couple of wild cards quickly as we bring our conversation to a close here on opening day, Danny Boy. Parker Meadows hitting 200, again through six, couple of RBI. Javi Baez, I think this is going to be very interesting. 14 at-bats, he's hitting 143. Remember a year ago when he was going from shortstop to center field and putting in some quality innings out there, hovering mm-hmm. around 300 for a little bit. As a matter of fact, some banks closed when he was around that 300 mark. But I don't know if he's going to duplicate it there, Dan, but you know what? Hopefully he can get close.
Yeah, I think, you know, he really struggled down the stretch. And I think the one part that got a little bit overlooked at the beginning of last year, AJ made sure he gave him the right matchups. So in other words, if he played, he didn't play every day. He was playing in the center, but he was making sure that he wasn't facing righties who had wicked sliders, because he remains very vulnerable to that. And the more he played down the stretch, the more vulnerable he got and the more he chased. So I think it was very much, making sure he faced lefties, but also righties who didn't have that wicked slider that's going to get him to chase. So I think his best, he's still a very valuable player, but to me, his best is kind of that 350, 400 at-bat guy who is going to play all around. He's going to be in the middle of the diamond, either at short or at second, and in center field. And he's really good. He's the best athlete on this team. And he's also really positive. He's going to have a positive impact on Kevin McGonigal. Already has. But right. Just those little bits of wisdom defensively. Kevin
sure.
McGonigal looks great defensively. And that
sure
was
does.
A big question mark. You know, everybody's involved in that. Alex you know, Joey Cora and the whole coaching staff. But another big piece of that is the wisdom that Javi Baez is passing on from shortstop. So I think that's his best use. I have no idea how it's going to unfold, but I just think the offensive struggles at the end of last year were real. And I think that he's best in a limited, more limited role than every day.
I'm a big believer, Dan, you know this about me, ending on a positive. You mentioned the 21-year-old rookie, Kevin McGonigal, 22 at-bats. He's hitting .364.
I love you breaking out all the batting averages in these 14 and 20 at-bats.
Right. But I said he's hitting .364 with 5 RBI. Okay, that's all I know.
But I think, you know, I get everybody's excited, and we're all excited, right? But here's the thing. The Tigers make the point, and it's, you know, he's not the savior. He's joining a good offense. Again, top five offense last year. He's going to have his ups and downs like not every other rookie, but like every other player has. Here's the thing. Because he has elite pitch recognition skills, elite bat-to-ball skills, he reads pitchers and he understands after he sees him one time, if he sees all of his pitches, he did this against Peralta when he doubled off him. He'd seen all three pitches the day before, doubled off him in that or that big base loaded single in game two. He puts it into his computer bank and then he uses it in the next at bat. So whatever his struggles will be, I just feel like based on what we're seeing, his advanced, mature approach at the plate, that those struggles are going to be short-lived versus maybe longer for some other guys.
All right, well said.
This kid's real deal.
Yo, he is. He's real deal. And you know what? Baptism under fire, big fan of that. Danny, my good friend, happy opening day to you. Looking forward to a great season with you.
I'm really looking forward to it, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
All right, the voice, Mr. Dan Dickerson with us here as part of Focus on 760 WJR. All right, sir, thank you very much. T-minus 20 minutes or so and counting till first pitch for your Tigers, opening day 2026, welcoming the St. Louis Cardinals. We are here at a phenomenal venue, commercial headquarters, the Tower, for what I think is an amazing deal, Huntington Bank. Tremendous host, Mike Parsons.
Yes, I feel kind of like Batman looking over the city on opening day.
Making sure everything is on the up and up, less.
And so far, so good. And right now, everybody's anticipating the fight.
Yeah, we're supposed to have a flyover, which kind of goes hand in hand in sports right now. But I don't think I've ever seen a fly, and I've seen a gazillion.
Yeah.
But never from this vantage point, the 19th floor.
Yeah, we could almost reach out and maybe grab onto the wing. That's how close we would be.
Everybody having a wonderful time milling about. And, again, it has been a long, long time since we've had sunshine and temperatures hovering around 70 degrees for opening day.
And just to remind you of how lucky we are with this weather, 5 years ago was the Miguel Cabrera snowy home run game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, you know what? Little behind the scenes. This authentic Detroit Tiger jersey I'm sporting today, you'll notice what's on the back.
Right. That actually got you past security because
yes.
I'm Steve Courtney. They looked at the back of your jersey and said, yes, you are, sir.
So years ago when the Tigers were building the new ball yard, there was a guy, Tyler Barnes, was his name. And he was the guy that did pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. Got to know him really well. He was a tremendous dude.
Ran the ball club.
Yeah. And so we would get tours before the Comerica was even finished.
Oh, wow.
And it just so happens I turned 40 the year they opened Comerica Park. My point is this. It was the year 2000. The Seattle Mariners were in town.
Mm-hmm.
It was sleet, snow, rain, 38 degrees. I think it reached probably 40 for about 15 minutes.
Right. That's
and they still played.
Oh, my God. And I think, do you think if they weren't opening the new ballpark, Steve, do you think they would have?
Not at all.
Yeah.
There is no way in hell they would have played that baseball game.
A snow out. You don't hear a whole lot about those.
Let's paint a picture of what's going on across the street, shall we? Checking in with a fine young fella, Nick Lundberg, WJR Digital Sports. Nicholas, how are you, lad?
I'm doing great, Steve, getting ready for this first pitch in a couple minutes here.
Yeah, hopefully, Nicky boy, the Tigers find their way out of this funk. You know, the season couldn't have started any better in our conversation with Double D Dan Dickerson not long ago. You start with consecutive wins over a pretty good Padres club, outscoring him in the process 13-2. Then, long story short, you check into Phoenix to face a D-backs team, which was 0-3 going into the series, and you're swept. So hopefully the Tigers find themselves.
Yeah, I'm sure these home fans are juiced up to kind of give them some momentum. You know, first home series of the season, and you've got some new faces being introduced to the fans. Kevin McGonigal's off to a hot start. Let's see if Kerry Carpenter, Riley Green, those guys can kind of get reignited seeing a lot of familiar faces today.
You mentioned Kerry Carpenter. I don't want to say I'm concerned. I just think it's, you know, he's just too good to be off to the start that he is right now. Nick, he's hitting 091. He's had 22 at-bats, and he struck out 12 times. That's not Kerry Carpenter baseball.
No, definitely not. And if the Tigers want to, you know, get back to the ALDS and push further, get to the CS this year, Kerry Carpenter's got to be, you know, the main guy and one of the main guys in this lineup. And, you know, like you said, under 100 batting average just isn't going to get it done. But, I mean, we've seen him grow over the past couple of years. And obviously there are, you know, in baseball, players, you know, weather's still warming up, getting off to some slow starts. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how he, you know, gets into form over these next couple weeks.
How many McGonigal jerseys have you seen? I mean, the 21-year-old rookie.
A decent amount. I mean, there's a lot of hype with this kid. They're talking about, you know, his extension upcoming. And if they're already talking about that, it sounds like the front office is pretty keen on keeping him around. And the fans on social media have embraced him. I've seen a couple jerseys around today. Obviously, there's probably going to be a couple more bought as more of the hometown fans get used to his name and his face. So I'm sure there will be more popping up as the season comes around.
You know, last week, Nick, when it was announced, A.J. Hinch and company, that he did, in fact, make the opening day roster. Look, he's 21 years old. I've said it before. When it comes to sport, why not? Baptism under fire, baby. Throw him out there. Let's see what happens. Because there was some Tigers fans that were saying, you know, he's young and you don't want to ruin his confidence if he gets off to a bad start. Well, you don't have to worry about that because he's hitting 364 with five RBI heading into this series against the St. Louis Cardinals. And while I mention that, let's also a little round of applause for Colt Key. 22 at-bats as well. Guess what? Colt Key is hitting 364, and I think this is a pivotal year for him. Don't you, Nick?
Definitely. And, I mean, I feel like he almost had a home run in one of the games against the Diamondbacks, which would have, you know, maybe sent it to extras, which maybe might have turned into a win. But nonetheless, he's off to a hot start, and he's going to be a guy. You know, he had an average year last year, was and, you know, signed an extension early on in his career. So the team is looking for him to produce stats. And I think this hot start is really going to be critical and, you know, a big breakout year for Colt Keith.
I know there might be a little concern about JV, Justin Verlander, gets the one-year $13 million deal. Second tour of duty, obviously, with the Tigers. Made his second go-around debut, game one, against the D-backs. Did not go well. JV, the first to admit that. 3 2/3, six hits, five runs, couple walks, and a K, and he gave up a tater. He got off to a slow start a year ago with the Giants, and it came around. But look, he turned 43 in February, and I'm just saying, again, Nick, I think the hope here is the JV hovers around ERA of 4, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's going to be in the back end of the rotation. And like you said, he got off to a slow start last year and kind of picked it up midway through the season last year and ended up with some solid stats. And I've seen over the, you know, back even when he was in Detroit, there have been times on opening day where, you know, even when he was at his best, he didn't have a great start to start the season. So I think that, you know, once he gets resettled in back, you know, back into Detroit, back into the weather and all those kinds of things, he'll, you know, find his late season groove like he did in San Fran last year.
All right, Nick, as always, my friend, appreciate it. Take care. Enjoy opening day, sir.
Thank you, Steve. You too.
All right. Framber Valdez on the bump, of course, for the Tigers as they open this series against the St. Louis Cards. It is first outing in San Diego. Six innings of work, seven hits, two runs, gave up just one earned run, walked one, struck out five. More coming up on WJR. And just like that, my friends, we are 5 minutes away from first pitch. Your Tigers and the St. Louis Cardinals opening day 2026. Again, we are at a tremendous, tremendous place. I'm never leaving. I've decided. I'm staying right here at the commercial headquarters, also known as the Tower for Huntington Bank. And what a backdrop. We are going to be able to take it all in. Literally, stage right, there is Comerica Park, the playing surface right there. Looks like the crowd is moving in very slowly, as has been known to happen on opening day. But before too long, it will be jammed. Steve Courtney here, along with Mike Parsons. Michael, you hanging in there, lad?
Yeah, and during the break, we saw that flyby. And, yeah, it looked like we could almost reach out and grab the bottom of the helicopter and fly away.
Later identified as a few CH-47 Chinooks.
Yes, thank you, AB, for the assist on that.
Yeah, Anthony Bellino, who's going to be filling in for Ryan Armani, he pointed that out with his expert military background.
But that, yeah, that was a showstopper. Everybody ran to the window. Kind of like when you were a kid, it was the first day it snowed. That's kind of what
right.
we were, and we all looked
exactly.
out, and there was a big round of applause after.
We also have Ray Templin in charge of the dials and buttons and all that sort of stuff. Danielle Mason, a.k.a. Sonny D, back at the Golden Tower. Meanwhile, let's check in. You know, we spare no expense when it comes to opening day here. We have correspondents everywhere. Let's check in with Justin Valentine, our opening day correspondent. Justin, you've got that on your resume, sir. What else do you need?
You know what? I'll take that on my resume. This has been a picture-perfect opening day. I don't know I've seen a better one in my lifetime, and I'll let you speak on that. But this has been this feels like a June home game, a July home game. I mean, it's sunny. It's 70. People are out and still walking into the park. I know we're a few minutes away from first pitch, and people are just having a great time out here because of how nice this weather is. I mean, we got so lucky when it comes to this opening day weather.
Yeah, Justin, you're absolutely right. We've been talking, been around a while personally. I don't remember the last time we had sunshine and temperatures hovering around 70, but as it works out here in our great state of Michigan, rain in like 65 tomorrow, then Easter Sunday, 48. That's just the way it goes. But I would imagine, Justin, everybody walking around the ball yard with nothing but smiles and old English D's right now.
No, for 100%. I mean, again, it feels like a summer day, and it lands on a holiday weekend. I mean, Tigers opening day for Detroit, which Detroit traditionally will come through for opening day, even in the worst weather. But then you get a holiday weekend with great weather, and everyone is eager to get out here. People have been out here since about 8 a.m., which is before things opened up. You know what I mean? And they were ready to go, and they are still taking their time getting into the ballpark. All due respect to the game itself, they want to enjoy the festivities going on outside the game as well.
Well, again, having been to a few opening days there, Justin, I'm sure you've seen things. You say people get down here so very early. Oh, and they do. And unfortunately, sometimes nobody paces themselves. But I'll tell you what, as far as people watching goes, next to nothing.
Well, 100%. If you're a people watcher, this is your day, right? Like, hang out in Detroit. And you got plenty of people, and I'm looking at a screen right now as the game is getting ready to start. The ballpark is packed, and yet the streets outside of the ballpark is also packed, right? Like, this is unreal. And it's also a great game. It's a rivalry game. The St. Louis Cardinals,
sure is.
Who is somebody that, you know, they don't come to Comerica Park as often as we hoped they would, right? It's a rivalry game. There's so much that factors into how special this opening day feels.
All right, Justin, Fine job, my friend. Look forward to seeing you soon. Enjoy the rest of your opening day.
Dude, I appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy yourself, okay?
All right, Justin Valentine, our highly prized WJR correspondent on opening day.
There goes our raises, Steve.
You know, though, in line with what he said, I'm somewhat of a uniform nerd. I don't know if you ever knew that about me, Mike. I know there's a lot of information in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But obviously, the Old English D, home white for the Tigers, iconic.
Classic.
Period. But I've also always been a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals uniform.
Yeah, it's kind of
their home uniform as well is legendary.
It's kind of the same classic ilk as the as the Tigers.
We're going to give you an opportunity. As you know, it is also Final Four time in Indy. 609, number 3-seeded Illinois, number 2-seeded UConn, and then 849, a couple of 1-seeds, your Michigan basketball Wolverines and the Arizona Wildcats. We're going to give you an opportunity to check out some nice Michigan paraphernalia. Randy Carricker, PR director, Nyko Sports Memorabilia and Sports Collectibles, joins us now. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve, and what a great weekend for you folks in the state of Michigan, obviously in Detroit with Tigers opening weekend and with the Wolverines playing, and it should be a lot of fun. I would imagine, you tell me, is this the best weekend, or is it if the Tigers are in the playoffs and you have the Lions and Red Wings playing on the same weekend?
You know what, Randy, it's a difficult question to answer because, you know, both are highly anticipated, right? But we know this. Getting to a Final Four, let alone a national championship, is no easy task. Dusty May and the Wolverines have done that, and you do such a great job at Nyko. You have some opportunity for some Michigan fans, don't you?
We do. We have an amazing commemorative basketball for people that are interested in the Wolverines and want to commemorate this unbelievable season. Nyko has produced a one-of-a-kind basketball. It's unique that you can't find anywhere else. And you can get it at nykosports.com. You can see it on the website. It's N-I-K-C-O, nykosports.com. And our phone number is 800-345-2868. But this is a full-size licensed basketball. There are only going to be 2,026 made for 2026. They're $149.95, but each basketball comes with an individually numbered certificate. It's got a Michigan logo on one panel with a season to remember. It's got the entire 25-26 season, including the score and opponent for regular and postseason games, plus Michigan's Final Four history and the Wolverine logo. It really is a beautiful commemorative item. And with Father's Day coming up in July or in June, anybody who's a graduate of the University of Michigan or is graduating, it's a great gift idea. Again, people can see it at nykosports.com, N-I-K-C-O-sports.com, or just give a call and pick one up at 800-345-2868. And if the Wolverines win, which we fully expect, this ball will be upgraded to a championship ball. So we've got a Final Four ball, or when they win the championship, a championship ball, too, that it'll be automatically upgraded to.
All right, Randy. Great job, as always. Give that phone number one more time, please.
You bet. The website, first of all, Nyko Sports, N-I-K-C-O, nykosports.com, and you can call 800-345-2868 with it being the opener for the Tigers, and A.J. Hinch loves to play that small ball, 800-345-BUNT.
All right. We appreciate it. Take care. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, Randy.
Thank you, Steve. You too.
All right, Randy Carricker, PR Director, Nyko Sports Memorabilia and Sports Collectibles, with us here on Focus on 760 WJR. All right, sir, thank you very much. Welcome back into Focus here on 760 WJR. Steve in for Paul, and we are checking in with Mr. Kevin Dietz, of course, the wonderful host of All Talk, heard here on WJR from 9 to noon, Monday through Fridays. He's got some pretty good business going on in Indy, taking in all that is the Final Four. Kevin, how are you? You hanging in there, lad?
Oh, I am. I'm having a wonderful time. You got me on your toes here. You never know who you're going to run into. I was just waiting on hold for you during the commercial break, and Lamar Odom just walked up. and we're chatting it up a little bit. He's got his big championship ring on, and he's getting ready to go over and do some TV thing. I think he's a reality TV star now.
I think he is too. But look at you rubbing elbows with the superstars there, my friend. I would imagine
he's pretty tall. I don't know if I got elbows. I think I was rubbing his knee.
It's quite a deal, and as we've discussed on your fine program during the week, Kev, the Final Four in Detroit next year. How special is that going to be?
Oh my gosh! You know, I'm walking around, and just every part of the city that I walk to, I just think, oh man, this is going to look great. At Campus Martius. This is going to be phenomenal up and down Woodward Avenue. This is going to be killer on the Riverwalk. I mean, our city is so walkable and so set up for a Final Four, and they have just turned it into such a party that I think Detroit is going to shine like we did with that NFL draft. I think we're just going to thrive next year when this Final Four party comes to Detroit.
Well, the one thing, Kev, and no one knows it better than you, the one thing you cannot plan on is April weather here in the great state of Michigan. Here we've got opening day. Sun shines out. Absolutely beautiful. Temperature hovering around 68. Let's just call it 70. You just never know what's going to be going on. But I'll tell you one thing. And we've had some, you know, pretty big events through our great city. And I think the out-of-town media, no matter what the set event was, they all leave glowing about what they just experienced.
Oh, it's fabulous. With the exception of the year Comerica Park actually opened up, I think it was sleeting sideways that year. But, man, you get a day like today, and you're not worried about hand warmers. You're not worried about any of that. You are just you're ready to have fun. And then the other thing is all the people that – decide to come downtown because the weather's good. They don't have a ticket. They don't care. They're just going to come down and hang out at the block parties and listen to the music and hit the food trucks. And what a fabulous day that is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'll let you know they have gone bottom one. Tigers with two outs, no score in this home opener with the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, Kev, you talk about a couple of legendary franchises getting together at the Ball Yard today. I absolutely love it.
Oh, man. Didn't they play the World Series against each other?
Yeah, you go back to that amazing 68 series. Lou Brock, why didn't he slide? I mean, there's a lot of history between these two. And I pointed out earlier, see if you concur. I think I've admitted to you somewhere over a period of time, Kev, that I'm a uniform nerd.
Right.
And we know the home Old English tee for the Tigers is legendary, but I've always been a fan of the Cardinals' home uniform.
Well, it's a beautiful uniform. I like to talk about the ones that you don't like. Like I just can't get around. I just don't care for Toronto's for whatever reason. I like the classics, and you're right. The Cardinals have it. The Tigers have it. Houston, I can't get my head around either. I don't know.
Houston just can't settle on anything. And the multicolored of yesteryear from the Astros. Don't get me started on the softball uniform of the Chicago White Sox, for crying out loud. When was that? Back in the late 70s with the shorts? I mean,
right.
you may have to look that up.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was a mistake.
You know, but then, you know, here in Detroit, though, I think we're blessed across the board with great uniforms. The Red Wing. Come on.
Fantastic.
Original Six. I think every Original Six uniform is outstanding. And I think all franchises have pretty much left it alone. There's been a variation along the way. The Pistons, I like what they've got going
Solid.
On right now.
How'd you guys feel about the teal back in the 90s?
I wasn't a big fan.
AB and I are of that era. We loved them, but
whippersnappers.
Yeah, there's still one of those floating around my house somewhere. It just gives me flashbacks.
We'll take it.
And the Lions, the classic Honolulu blue.
I'm not a big fan
of the black. Just leave it alone, for crying out loud.
You're not wrong.
Anyway, now Kev, let me ask you this: Are you? Hold on, AB is giving me the stink eye.
I feel like the black ones are bad luck.
I'm not a fan of the black. I'm sorry. I'm not moving on that.
Yeah. Wasn't the Dan Skipper game the black uniforms? I could be wrong, but
No. Matt Millen introduced them.
Need I say more? That's why they feel like bad mojo.
Right. There,
bring
there
up Matt Millen on a wonderful day like this, where we have the opening day and we got the Final Four, and you're bringing up Matt Millen.
I apologize. I was way out of line. Kev, are you hanging out for the actual tilts tomorrow?
It is being negotiated. I have some family that may have some access to some tickets, and if things roll the right way, we're going to stick around and watch a little basketball. But if not, it's going to be a fabulous game anyway. This Michigan Arizona game, particularly, what a brawl that's going to be. I swung by the Arizona hotel just to see how it compared to the Michigan hotel, and I got to tell you. There are a lot of people in town from Arizona, and they are ready for this matchup.
You know, what's interesting, and again, I've seen a lot of Michigan, and what they've done in this tournament, and sometimes it seems, Kev, like they toy with the opponent. They give them the false sense of well-being. Next thing you know, Michigan wins by 20-plus. They're a point-and-a-half favorite against their fellow number one seed, the Wildcats. I know Tommy Lloyd, hired, I think, in April of 2021, has done an amazing job there in Arizona. And again, I'm not a name dropper, talking to Tom Izzo this morning here on JR Mornings, Arizona kind of fighting against the trend in college hoops these days. They don't launch a lot of threes. They like a lot of their action in the paint. It is going to be a dandy. And that's the nightcap, for crying out loud. Again, Michigan are favored by a point and a half there.
That's how they played in the 50s, Steve, in the paint. There's so many teams now that fire from three all the time. I'm really excited to see a game, a big, important game that where the battle is in the paint.
It'll be a little refreshing, won't it? And, you know, Illinois, here you have a pretty big physical team in the Fighting Illini, Brett Underwood. On
good
board
rebounders.
Since 2017. Yeah, it's going to be a battle. But when you have a team like UConn getting past top-seeded Duke, the way they did to come from behind 19 down and win it 73-72, one of the classic finishes I have seen or ever will see.
Unbelievable. You wonder if they used up all their magic or if just a team gets if that's a destiny thing where they're going to find a way to get past Illinois somehow, get into the finals and keep it going. I'm not going to be able to take my eyes off that. That the end of that game against Duke, watching that, I was screaming out loud, and I'm looking around. And I was watching it by myself. I said, I got to call someone. I can't believe I just watched this thing.
All right, Kev. We are out of time, unfortunately, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your stay there in Indy. Get back to your Bloody Mary, would you?
Happy opening day, my friend.
Back at you. Happy opening day. Kevin Dietz, our very own, with us here as we continue with Focus here on 760 WJR.
And now, WJR is proud to present Rieger Reviews It.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Featuring film critic Dave Rieger.
Suddenly, Dave has a great job.
Sponsored by Wiggly.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yes, indeed, and as always, it's brought to you by Wiggly's famous Eastern Market corned beef. You know, April in Detroit means opening day is here. First pitch, fresh energy, and traditions that never miss. Wiggly's corned beef at the Royal Diner in Clarkston is always a home run. Stacked Reuben, savory hash, and omelets done right. Royal Diner on Dixie Highway, serving up Wiggly's for 30 years. Opening day, indeed, is upon us. Our coverage continues here on WJR, and it is a tradition for Mr. Dave Rieger to provide some cinema insight on P-Dub's Focus program, and who am I to break tradition? We have got it assembled for you here, the top five baseball movies of all time. David, how you doing?
Real good, Steve. Glad to be here with you. Opening day, a tradition. In Detroit, always.
Yeah, a selfish plug. You and I will be spending a lot of time together as we look forward to another exciting season of Spin on Golf. It all kicks off Championship Sunday at the Masters, joined by Jordan Young, Brian Cairns. More on that as we go along. Meanwhile, baseball movies, my friend. You know, when you say the top five of all time, it's always up for debate, but these are some dandies.
So these are my top five.
I see.
You know, and so obviously there is, you know, up for discussion, obviously, whether you people agree or disagree. But we thought for opening day we had to do a special Baseball Riga Reviews It. And we'll start, we'll go from five to one.
Okay.
We'll start with number five. And 1999, the Kevin Costner For the Love of the Game. Obviously, we had to throw this movie in there because of the fact that Kevin Costner stars as Billy Chappell, an aging Detroit Tigers pitcher. He's contemplating retirement, and he's pitching a potentially career-ending final game at Yankee Stadium, or as you would say, at Stanky Stadium.
Yes, indeed.
And he's
said.
He's reflecting on his tumultuous 5-year relationship with his girlfriend, while battling both physical and emotional heartbreak and trying to achieve a perfect game. Yeah, great baseball movie.
Yeah, it was.
Big fan.
Yeah, it was a very good baseball movie. As a matter of fact, Kevin Costner kind of went out of his way to kind of like be the king of baseball movies because, remember, he was in Bull Durham back in 1988. What a cast that was. Tim Robbins, Susan Sarandon. But For the Love of the Game, obviously, hit home here because of the connection with the Tigers.
Yeah, and of course, Field of Dreams, you know.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people, you know, think is their number one baseball movie of all time.
Yeah, but so you talk about Costner with Bull Durham in 88 and then Field of Dreams in 89. I mean, like, baseball movies was his go-to.
There you go, 100%. Moving along to number four. 1989, got to go with Major League, obviously, the sports comedy that followed the Cleveland Indians, now the Cleveland Guardians, the failing baseball team whose new owner wants to move them to Miami. So they go on a run like none other because attendance is dropping.
Yeah.
And it's just they assemble a bunch of misfits to, you know, come play. You know, Charlie Sheen, Wesley Snipes, Tom Berenger. Corbin Burnson, just an incredible cast.
Probably the project that put Charlie Sheen on the map, yes?
Probably.
People knew who he was prior to playing Wild Thing in Major League, but he was on his way. Not that it really panned out for him.
No.
But whatever. A solid baseball movie, no doubt.
Number four. Number three now. This movie right here, 1993. I don't know anybody who does not like The Sandlot. I don't know anybody, you know, you're killing me, Smalls. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the comedy about Scotty Smalls, new kid in town during the summer of 1962, joins a group of neighborhood boys playing baseball, and the whole movie focuses on their friendship and their adventures, and then also trying to recover that autographed baseball from the dog known as the Beast behind the fence.
You know, here is a baseball and or otherwise movie, David, that has certainly stood the test of time. As a matter of fact, as we've approached opening day in Major League Baseball, you see The Sandlot on various cable channels, and I've already seen it easily 20 times, probably more, but when I see it on cable, I cannot not watch it.
That's great.
It is, like I say, it has stood the test of time. And the one thing about this movie, which was so very special, of course, it featured one of my favorite actors of all time, James Earl Jones.
Correct.
And when he goes into and they decide and they figure out that he's just a very nice old guy with severe connections to baseball. And that James Earl Jones voice was just amazing.
That's great. Well, moving along to number two now on the list, 2011, a little bit closer to our time here, Moneyball, Brad Pitt.
Ah,
the true story of Oakland Athletics general manager Billy Bean. or they're not really the Oakland Athletics. What are they, the Sacramento Athletics now?
For the moment.
Soon to be the Vegas Athletics,
making their way to Vegas, yes.
Yes. So overcoming a limited budget, you probably the first, you know, time that we see analytics used in baseball to put this team together. And just awesome movie.
Jonah Hill played his assistant, Peter.
Yeah.
I thought it was, yeah. If you weren't a baseball fan, you probably tuned out of this movie inside the first 15 minutes. But I found it rather compelling because of the subject matter involving analytics. And at the time, again, going back to 2011, not really all that long ago, but analytics was being thrown around, in particular baseball. Because baseball is such a numbers game. Always has been, always will be. But now you take a look at analytics being used in the NFL, the NBA, the NHL. It's all-encompassing. And this kind of got it kick-started a little bit.
It really did. And like you said, if you are a anybody who is into the numbers with baseball, this definitely is the movie for you, 100%.
Yeah, go back to the infancy of this. Because, look, analytics is a science. I will follow it only to a certain degree.
Right.
Because then my eyes start to roll in the back of my head.
Sure.
And, you know, don't need it.
And then, of course, number one, up for debate, my favorite baseball movie of all time, 1984. We've got to go with Roy Hobbs and The Natural. Just a great movie about a supernatural talent who returns 16 years after being shot by a mysterious woman to play for the struggling New York Knights, armed with his handmade bat that he made called Wonder Boy, Robert Redford. Just a great movie, a great ending to the movie. I just think one of the most perfect baseball movies.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And we recently lost one of our great actors of all time, Robert Duvall. And I think when you found out about his passing, you really didn't assimilate him to The Natural. But he was in it.
Yeah, he was the reporter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was
Wilford Brimley was the coach.
It was a little deep for me, but I made it through. I've watched it a couple times. Pretty good.
Yeah, big fan. Now, as we do every Friday with Paul W., we have to rate these movies 1 out of 4 Wiggly's sandwiches. And I would give 4 Wiggly's sandwiches to all of these movies on my list. Up for debate. You can agree, you can disagree. But I think that we all can agree that opening day in Detroit is great. And baseball movies are just a part of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And in closing, I'm just going to start this movement. I would give 5 Wiggly sandwiches to The Sandlot. That's just me.
I like it.
That's just me.
I like it, Steve.
All right, David. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. I can't say for sure I'll ever be invited back to this fine facility. But what a time it has been. And what a pleasure it is filling in for Paul W. Smith. And I must tell you, what a wonderful time it has been here at the commercial headquarters, also known as the Tower, for Huntington Bank. They've been tremendous hosts. We very much appreciate it. Our time together has almost come and gone.
I don't want to leave.
You're absolutely right, yeah. Mike. In fact, we're not going to.
Yeah. AB can do the show around us.
I'm fine with that.
AB, what up, bro?
Just my blood pressure. Everything is good. It would be a lot better if we get the bats to get active here in the middle of the third, 0-0 ball game across the street, historic Woodward Avenue. And, Steve Courtney, what if I told you that the heart of this lineup, Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter, guys that we're depending on, the heart of this lineup, a collective 9-for-60 so far in this very young season. That's a batting average of 150 with 23 strikeouts in the first 6 games of the season.
Well, and here's where it gets a little troublesome, and we've discussed it. Kerry Carpenter, who's a very talented player, there's no question about it. 22 at-bats this year. He's already struck out 12 times. That's unheard of. He's too good.
Historical.
Now, that is going to turn itself around. There's no doubt about that. But look, you've played six games going into the home opener today, and you've been shut out twice. That's not good.
And then over the last four games going into today, when you look at their overall 36 innings of baseball played, they have been shut out in 34 of those 36 innings. They're doing all their damage in two innings, Steve. I mean, it's a little concerning. I'm not here to be Chicken Little and tell everybody that the sky is falling. That's not what I want to do. But at the same time, some of the issues that we had at the end of the year last year, some of those same issues are starting to rear their ugly head, especially when you get a guy like Tarek Skubal, who goes out and gives you seven great innings, throws a gem, surrenders one run.
Right.
You cannot give that game away for the Tigers.
Well, if you are looking for your first division title since 2014, this is not the way you wanted to start. Because, look, everything looked awesome in the first two games in San Diego, right?
I hung a pennant.
I mean, everything was just wonderful.
I took it
down. And then you get into Phoenix, and the D-backs hadn't won yet.
No.
And then they sweep you.
Yeah.
Now, listen, the reality is there's still 156 games left, 155 after today. So nobody is writing this Tiger team off. But this isn't the way you wanted to come into opening day, having lost four in a row.
Do you think that when we went into Phoenix, maybe we should have went to the Omni Scottsdale Resort at Monte Lucia, which overlooks the beautiful Camelback Mountain? Should we have done one of the wellness retreats where you go through, like, the spa and they have the Russian bath, they do the stone massage and all of that?
I'm a big fan.
You want to do all that?
Yes.
And then they pull the string.
Whatever
it
takes.
All the cold water comes down to you. Should we burn some sage? Sacrifice a chicken?
Maybe a shaman.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Were you a fan of the one-year, $13 million deal bringing JV back?
Absolutely. And I was a fan for a couple of reasons. One, because first and foremost, I'm a businessman, right? And I know that when you bring 35 back into the fold and you are launching a brand-new television network, the Detroit Sports Network.
Yes.
Right? We're going to do direct-to-consumer. That's what we're going to do. So you're going to have the option to buy
that worked
directly.
Out swimmingly, by the way, so far.
So far, so good. But then also we're going to be on television. So you want to be able to have eyes, and you're going to, coming off of the magic that was 2024 that bled into 2025, and then all of a sudden we blew that 15.5 game lead. Okay, but we've got enough juice within the system. Now you add Justin Verlander for potentially a swan song here. I love every storyline and all the nostalgia it brings. The one thing we haven't talked about is what if this goes sideways? What if it isn't? Well, I mean, what if Justin Verlander turns
into
a pumpkin?
Let's talk about that right now.
Yeah. What if he turns into a pumpkin?
Okay, now here's the thing.
Pumpkin.
And he turned 43 in February.
Mm-hmm.
And there's absolutely nothing old about 43.
I remember when I was 43.
Zero. Have you gotten there yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Don't plan on it.
But if you're a major league pitcher.
Not anytime soon.
Now you're pushing a little bit. And the one thing about sport AB that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Father Time waits for no one.
That's right.
So my fear is this. In his first outing, and again, just his first outing, 3 2/3, 6 hits, 5 runs, walked 2, struck out 1, gave up a tater. Now, he got off to a horrific start in San Francisco a year ago.
Yes.
And he straightened it out. If he can have an ERA somewhere around 4, I think that would be considered successful. If he can do that. And look, there are no guarantees.
None. Not in sports. And the thing about it is, if the ERA sits at 4, I think from a fan base perspective, we're all comfortable with that. The question is, from a lineup perspective, is that good enough? Is an ERA of 4 good enough to win games? And you are absolutely right. I think that what's really interesting, okay, you bring in age being a factor, obviously, and then the slow start to last year, is that part of the age? Right? Is it going to take him a little bit longer to get this engine fired up? Does he need a little more grease? Is it going to take a month or two where he starts to really feel and kind of come around, and then by the time we hit mid to late June, this is exactly what we thought?
Could be.
Fingers crossed.
Could be.
I hope.
But that being said, there's also a chance, and we've got to be realists here, that he don't find that groove. And he's a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. But that being said, if you're a team, again, looking for your first division title in a long time, everything has got to fall into place. And I'll tell you another question mark. Jack Flaherty. Hot, cold, a year ago. Mm-hmm. In his first start, four and a third, four hits, three runs, two of those earned, four walks and 2K. I think there's a chance, a better than not chance, that Casey Mize will be your third starter with Flaherty and JV battling for fourth and fifth.
The good news is that as the season progresses, the cavalry will be coming. Troy Melton, Jackson Job. Jackson Job's going to be longer because he was coming off the Tommy John. Troy right. Melton will come around. And so you are going to get some youth coming up in the pipeline, too, that A.J. Hinch is going to have to make some decisions, right? We might get some extended rest. He might be able to tinker around with that lineup a little bit where maybe you get an extended start from a Tarek Skubal that might be able to shuffle some guys, you know, and he can, you know, we know that A.J. is a master manipulator when it comes to how he wants that rotation to look. I think that once Troy Melton comes, and then eventually at the end of the year with Jackson Job, what that looks like in the second half, however his health works out, and if he's able to make this major league club, that may help. But there are legitimate concerns here. I think that, you know, you start off 2-0, and everyone's like, hell yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
And then the last four games, there we go.
The time we have left, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Your Michigan basketball Wolverines.
Yes.
Favored by a point and a half. Final four action tomorrow night, 8:49, over a fellow number one seed, Arizona. What are your thoughts on third seeded Illinois getting past UConn? Your Wolverines taking care of business. We have our first Big Ten champion since 2000.
Well, I'm hoping for
Illinois. My Spartans, by the way.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping for Illinois, right, because they're a Big Ten team. So the more Big Ten teams that win, the more games they play, the more units they get, the more money to the conference that we can disperse. So that's number one. We're all about the business of it. Number two, Brad Underwood, the job that he's done at Illinois. That's fantastic.
Sensational.
It's going to be really tough to beat Coach Hurley and those UConn Huskies. Familiar face there in Terrace Reed. Remember him?
The way they beat. Oh, Duke, are you kidding me?
A lot of momentum.
Right? Oh, dear.
And then for the Michigan Wolverines, you know, you put the court in the middle of a dome stadium, points per game drop, three-point percentage drops, true shooting percentage drops, everything drops because the backdrop is so drastically different. So expect both all these teams, all four of them, to shoot worse and score less. The problem is slow feet don't eat, and Arizona's got a guy named Koa Pete. You got to watch out for him. The Wildcats got enough offense that they can run with Michigan. It's going to be a dicey one tomorrow night, but you know what's coming up, the Amazing Blue.
All the rhymes there. I thought I was reading a Dr. Seuss book. I don't know what was happening. AB, looking forward to it.
Good to see you,
Vladdy. We'll see you soon.
Keep me hydrated.
Mike Parsons?
Steve, pleasure as always.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so very much. Ray Templin? Thank you. Sonny D, Danielle, back at the Golden Tower. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure sitting in for Mr. Paul W. Smith. You better believe that. Thank you to our friends at Huntington Bank for having us here at the Tower. And thank you, one and all, for tuning in to 760 WJR.